CJ gets the snap. Here's Mixon running to the right. He's got all day. Runs across the goal line. Two TDs on the evening for Monday Night Mixon.
It would be three by the time the evening was over. Thank you to Mark Vandermeer of Texans Radio. And it felt like a Texans home game in Dallas last night. It certainly sounded like one. Huge cheers after all of Mixon's touchdowns. And it was 34-10 as the final score. Dallas's season is effectively over.
Yeah, Monday Night Mixon's a pretty good alliteration. I like that. I get it for the Cowboys fans. I'm even amazed that they had any in there. At least there weren't as many empty seats last night. You know, is this Jerry Jones' worst nightmare? Are they irrelevant?
Yeah. I mean, and there's still interesting things about the Cowboys and what they're going to do this offseason and if they're going to hire a new coach and all that. But, I mean, that's kind of the same. There are a lot of teams that are in that same boat. What I think is going to differentiate the Cowboys and their offseason from everyone else is I think they are going to seriously be in play for Shedeur Sanders if they keep losing. Now, that's the key. Last night, some details from the evening, if you want them, is Trey Lance never got in the game. And Jerry Jones is saying Cooper Rush is still going to be the quarterback. Now, I would think that the goal now is to not to win games. And I know that sounds silly, but you want the highest draft pick possible at this point, Perloff. Like, you and see maybe what you have with Trey Lance. To have Cooper Rush in there makes no sense to me. You're 3-7. It's over.
I mean, I genuinely disagree. Like, they're not in the quarterback market because of their cap hit with Dak. So I don't know that this is a team that really wants to lose out, because losing is kind of bad on your culture. I just don't want them to have no effort under Mike McCarthy. And it doesn't matter. Really, honestly, if they pick 7 or 10, I don't think it makes a huge difference, especially this year's draft.
I never said the effort had to go away. There's a way to lose, which is you just play the young guys.
That's what they did last night. I've never heard of half the players they had out by the fourth quarter.
Exactly. So keep doing that, right? Yeah. But I would also just sub out Cooper Rush and I would put in Trey Lance.
Yeah, Trey Lance can run. He might win you some games too.
I agree.
I think Trey Lance is, what is his career record? I think he's above 500. He'll win some close games for sure.
How many games has he started? 4?
Like 5. But Trey Lance, there's a formula. Trey Lance is, first of all, not that bad. And second of all, like,
how would we know what Trey Lance is? We have no clue.
Trey Lance, 2-2 in his career.
And those are San Francisco starts. Those aren't Dallas starts.
Yes.
So I think that's what I would do if I were them, because now they're just, you're right, Perloff, they're just like every other team now. They're just one of the other 2-win, 3-win mediocre teams who are going to be in the market likely for a coach and who are going to play out the string here as the long goodbye. That's it.
I didn't say they're just like any other team, because I mean, let's be realistic. They're not like any other team. They are the Dallas Cowboys. I know we could be the bigger men and bigger women and not treat the Cowboys like they're special, but you know they're special.
It's just because the fan base is so spread
out. Yeah. But I think they get more attention, and they have, just having that star in your helmet makes you a bigger name. So I do think you have to pay attention to Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. And the players that are there, they merit attention because of the star. And it's stupid, and I agree with everyone who says, oh, the media talks too much about the Cowboys. There's probably somewhere out there listening to this now and said, why are you talking about the Cowboys? The reality is they are interesting, and you could make it a case that next year they could be good. I know maybe I'm a Pollyanna, but they have a lot of dudes coming back next year, and that they have some money to spend, and theoretically they could, in my opinion, draft a really good defensive player in the top 10. They could be good next year.
Okay, that money's going to Micah Parsons. So,
but there's actually, the cap's going up next year. There's a lot of money. Like, they could really do some things.
See, I'm not doing that again this year, because I don't want to hear all in. Because that means nothing. And they paid Dak and they paid CeeDee Lamb, although it took forever. And they're going to pay Micah Parsons. It's going to take forever. We already know how this offseason is going to go for the Cowboys. It's going to be like Groundhog Day. So to think that the outcome is now all of a sudden going to be different, to me, is silly. Now, Belichick into the building, maybe. But I could see it going really badly with Belichick also. I don't know if it's a slam dunk that automatically means Lombardi Trophy.
I know what you mean, but actually, don't worry about the words all in. The actions were save money for next year. Like, they didn't sign Derrick Henry. They didn't sign another receiver. They didn't sign anybody. They re-signed Dak and they re-signed CD, but they generally, like, took the offseason off, meaning, hey, we're going to have a lot of cap space for next year. I do agree they'll pay Parsons, but they can do some things next year. This year, for some reason, they're like, we're going to pause and do it next year.
Yeah, why did they punt on this season?
I don't know. I think that they were trying to give McCarthy. I think it had something to do with the theory out there. It's not mine. Is that they wanted to give McCarthy a year to see if he could win with his team, and then really go all in next year with a new coach.
Okay, then you did you did kind of waste a year then.
Yeah, I mean, listen. If they had signed Derrick Henry, if they had done a bunch of things in the offseason, this might be different. But then everybody got hurt. A lot of good young players got hurt. Caller mentioned Sam Williams. He was ready to break out. He got hurt. Marshawn Nealon looked great. He got hurt. Everybody is kind of hurt. So next year, you lose Zach Martin, that's going to kill you. But I think there's talent coming back. Again, there's a lot that has to go right. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with you, but you're going to have some really good players. You just sort of need to toughen up. Even last night, their vulnerability, their run is just, they cannot fix this thing. Mike Zimmer was supposed to come in and fix the run, right? The new defensive coordinator?
Yeah, but they didn't add enough linebackers to help you do that type of thing. So, again, I think Jerry's selling that dirty four-letter word, hope. He's such a salesman. And I just think it sets up here where if you are picking in the top five, let's be honest, and this is maybe a backhanded compliment for the Cowboys, but they're usually not picking in the top five. They're not winning Super Bowls, but they're also not bad enough to be in the top five. So you do that. You tell yourself the lie that every team tells themselves, which is we're not going to be here again. So this is why you go get a quarterback when you actually have a chance. Because you hit on Romo undrafted, you hit on Dak Prescott fourth round. Do you really feel like you're going to hit another diamond in the rough QB?
He definitely does. Jerry's totally convinced that he's going to do that.
Hope again.
But I mean, they were at number 10 the year they took Micah Parsons and traded down. Like, I think Jerry likes that kind of thing. Like, he's like, ooh, if I'm sitting at 10, I can get another Micah Parsons. That's not bad. I think they have a lot of options on defense next year.
855-212-4227 if you like my idea about Shedeur Sanders. Listen, for all the people saying Deion should be the coach, this is actually, I would say, I don't know if it's more of a sure thing, but I'd want Shedeur before I want Deion.
Yeah, but let me ask you this question. Would you rather have Shedeur or Travis Hunter?
See, here's the thing about Travis Hunter, and we're going to have this conversation in a serious one. What position is he playing?
Yes.
Just on the field.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't had, really, CeeDee Lamb's a good player, but there hasn't been someone explosive in that building for a long time.
So he's playing offense.
He's going to be like Deion. He's going to play offense, and he's going to be a constant threat defensively to find, kind of like Deron Bland and Trevor Diggs have been the last couple of years, constant threat to return a pick, constant threat as a punt returner, constant threat everywhere. He'd be amazing.
Okay. I'm worried about Hunter holding up at the pro level, trying to do both, trying to do a little bit of everything.
Because, Deion did it.
Yeah, but you know what? Deion might be one of one.
I don't know. It sure feels like there's a second Deion on right now, and he's playing for Deion.
Yeah, but you know, Travis Hunter played 9 games last year. He missed time. This is at the college level, and that was playing a Pac-12 schedule, right? Now we're in the Big 12. Now he has been able to stay somewhat healthy, and he has been, and he's going to win the Heisman, which is so awesome. And I think he's a great player. But you're telling me that's a slam dunk he's going to hold up in the pro level, playing both ways?
I think that's the player that I heard Troy mention him last night. I think that is the player that Cowboys fans covet. I mean, just imagine, and it's only because of the cap space with Dak. That, to me, like, you're going to spend $90 million of cap space on your quarterback and not go for it, like just have somebody sitting behind him. You bring in Travis Hunter, like there's an excitement there, even more than Shedeur. He is so excited. Like, who's not going to want to watch that guy day one?
I get it, but what's the more important position on the field?
Definitely, your logic totally rides, except for that cap issue with Dak. It's way bigger than even Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. It's a gigantic hit. Like, you have no chance of building a good team around Shedeur. Like,
do you believe
he'll
that?
Take over in 27. He won't have any receivers. He won't have a running back. He might have a line, but it's not going to be a great team.
I do think you got to be a clear picture of what exactly Travis playing both sides of the ball is. Because we mentioned Deion. Deion was more of a gadget player on offense. Like, the most targets he ever had was one season was 67, and the next closest was 11 targets. Like, he was not an offensive player.
But the quarterbacks were really terrified of throwing an interception because Deion, once he caught an interception, forget it. And you already have two quarterbacks, so you could have Travis Hunter just float around and make plays. Like, he's going to be fantastic. I don't think he gets there. I think he's going really high. I think he'll play both. He's very valuable as a cornerback. As a receiver, he's good. But as a quarterback, he's really valuable. And I think he goes top three.
No, I'm not discounting the talent. I'm just wondering, to EJ's point, like, how many offensive snaps does he actually play?
Yeah, I mean,
because it's, you got to be worried about, it's been tough for him to hold up in college, so now you're going to add more games, more physicality, the game is faster. It's just,
I don't know if
that's going to take some getting used to.
I don't know if you have him running a ton of routes necessarily. Yeah, he's a bit of a, first of all, start him at cornerback, have him return punts, and then use him as, like Deion, as a gadget player on offense. I just think that he answers a lot of things. But forget, they need a big guy up front, too. I love Mason Graham in Michigan. You watch him play, it's like, what is it? He's like a pro playing with kids. I think there are a lot of choices here in Dallas.
So Dallas losing 34-10 to the Texans last night wasn't the only thing that was memorable, notable. About 2 hours before the game kicked off, a piece of sheet metal fell off the roof at Jerry World. Luckily, didn't hit anybody because that would have been a disaster. Here's Jerry Jones on the situation.
Apparently, did a little damage, and then when we tried to open it up, the winds got underneath the roof at that time, and so everybody agreed that it did some damage, but if you check around, Dallas had wind gusts all afternoon. I think they call them wind bursts or something like that.
Okay, here's my question about this, right? The stadium has become like a character in this season because nobody knows where the sun is going to be and the sun is in CeeDee Lamb's eyes and he wants the shades up and all of that stuff. They don't generally open up the roof too often, do they?
It hasn't been open since 2022.
Shut up about the sun!
So it hasn't been open since 2022. So on a day when there's 20 mile per hour wind bursts, this is the day they're like, you know what? Let's put the top down on this thing. Like, who? Why? Whose decision was this? And by the way, could have had a really disastrous ending.
My understanding is that the wind, when they opened the roof, the wind started to really fly. Was it already 20 miles per hour outside?
Well, that's what Jerry's saying. They knew the gusts were coming up to 20 miles an hour.
Oh, okay.
So this is the
day
you're like,
I have no idea.
It seems a silly idea. Why don't you wait till it's nice and calm?
They're also really bad when the roof is open. I don't know if you believe in the karma that they're 2-5 or something in the last 5 years. So, yeah, I have no idea. I don't have the slightest idea. But that's the least of their problems.
No, but
honestly,
like,
that's a nice distraction.
Honestly, it's the least of their problems. It could have been the biggest of their problems.
Yeah.
Had it nicked somebody or worse.
Right. Unless someone died. I mean, hey, you want to start talking about problems. Let's start talk about the running back room. As long as someone's not seriously injured.
Only Pearl.
Like, you're telling me, like, you got to, like, Rekel Dowdle, that's your guy?
Yes.
That's that.
And our guy Deuce Vaughn, who Joe Buck last night, I don't know if he meant it to be this much of a burn. Did you guys see this part when Deuce Vaughn goes in the huddle? We love Deuce Vaughn. He came on the show during the draft.
Yeah, he said that is not an illusion or something.
He goes, do not adjust your television set. He's really just 5'5". Ouch.
I didn't think that was that bad a burn. That was whatever. Deuce has heard that his whole life. He was just as good as Rekel Dowdle. I mean, neither of those guys could run. And then the funny thing was the Cowboys just gave up on the run game. They
were
Cooper Rush throw 56 passes.
I know.
That's amazing.
That's not what you want.
Cooper Rush, except for all the missed passes, was really good.
Brilliant. 855-212-4227. What do you think of my idea about Shedeur Sanders to the Cowboys? If they're picking top five, gotta look at it. Gotta.
Oh, how about Cam Ward to the Cowboys?
Is that a yes or a no, EJ?
It's just the Cam Ward selly, just because I gotta do it every time. Yeah. Every time we talk about him.
How about Quinn Ewers?
I would be so mad if he went to the Cowboys.
How about Quinn Ewers in the second round to the Cowboys?
I like that better.
Dallas native, bring him home. I mean, Quinn Ewers, does he look like a first-round quarterback to anybody? Like, if you didn't know that he was a number one recruit?
I was going to say, does he look like an NFL quarterback, though?
He was coming into the year. He was everyone's mock draft number one. I mean, he was like Trevor Lawrence in high school. He was a big deal. So, yeah, I don't know. You squint and you see it. That's why second round. You want a developmental quarterback, don't take Shedeur. Take Quinn Ewers.
855-212-4227. Rich is in Chicago, wants to talk about college coaches. Before we were talking about, is Brian Kelly on the hot seat after LSU has lost three in a row and four overall on the season? Hey, Rich, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, earlier when you were talking about kind of like all the coaching firings at the college level.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, and you had mentioned the old three-year rule. I think that held up a long time ago until you had the transfer portal. And I was telling your producer, the thing that's changed is you can turn something around now if you're effective in the transfer portal in college in anywhere from 12 to 18 months. I mean, you got like Deion Sanders has had, that's like a revolving door at an airport in Boulder with the amount of people he's had in 2 years. Look what they've done. And the people that are ineffective in the transfer portal is going to be reflective on why the coaches are getting launched. They're not getting 3 years because you're not going to turn a program around with predominant high school recruits in short term.
Yep.
And if you're going to build a program long term, I don't think the ADs and the presidents of the schools are giving these guys enough time to try to do that. Because typically a lot of these guys that are getting fired are inheriting a program that's a losing program or they wouldn't have gotten a job. So, you know, you take the Temple job or a marginal job, Rice, you think you're going to turn anything around in 3 years? I don't think so. So I think the transfer portal has become a coach killer.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, it's a good point because here you really got to be in sync with your AD, with your athletic director, if you are going to recruit high school. Because those guys, or you got to be Dabo Swinney and just say, you know, we're not using the portal, but
we have proof of concept in Clemson and it ain't working.
That doesn't work, but they might be playing for the ACC title. But I think what is really dooming Brian Kelly is I think when you get to the really top echelon programs, they want you to do both. I think they want you, the expectation is that you are going to be recruiting high school and that's going to be your base. And the transfer portal is going to be like free agency in the pro level, right? We're going to supplement with free agency. And maybe you go there for, you know, a star wide receiver, or maybe you go there for a big defensive end or a big, you know, but the offensive linemen, a lot of the defensive linemen, a lot of those guys are going to still be the guys you recruit out of high school.
I don't know. It feels like I look at the top teams and it's, maybe I'm focused on quarterback, but everybody is a transfer quarterback, basically.
Garrett Nussmeier wasn't. I mean, yeah, he was in the program.
I said, sorry. Oh, actually, no, there's one. Drew Aller.
Jalen Milroe wasn't.
Drew Aller at Penn State. Yeah, but the top.
Jackson Dart.
Yeah, but the top five, I said the top four teams. And I was wrong. Because, I mean, obviously, Oregon, obviously, Ohio State. Obviously, Texas was an early on transfer. I just think that it just makes sense. Like, Oregon seems like the model. Just bring in an old quarterback. I mean, Dylan Gabriel gives him a major advantage over it. Like Nico Iyer in Tennessee, he is so raw. He's just not ready to go.
Right, but last year, Brian Kelly did have a transfer quarterback, Jaden Daniels. It went as good as it could possibly go. You won the Heisman, but you didn't make any waves in terms of the college football playoff. And I know it was only four teams then, but they're not going to make it now with 12 teams. And this was their handpicked guy, Nussmeier. They wanted to keep him there. They could have gone into the portal, I'm sure, and gotten a quarterback, but they like Nussmeier.
It just seems like especially a quarterback, it just seems like the transfers rule the day. Because you need to get that. It's like a second contract, your NIL. So say you have a good freshman year, then you want to go back into the market. At least push the price up on your own thing. Although they're getting paid so much to come. These like five-star recruits are getting $2 million to go to these schools. I mean, if DJ Lagway graduates from Florida or it's last, I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked. Maybe it'll happen, but it just seems so tenuous.
The portal being a coach killer, 855-212-4227. I also just think LSU is the type of place where you have expectations. Whether we're under the old rules, whether we're under the new ones, the fan base there doesn't want to lose three in a row. They don't feel like they should. And I've got to be honest, I was kind of surprised that they lost to Florida. I know
nobody
it was on the road.
Nobody should lose to Florida.
But you watched that game, by the way, and you're totally right. You could tell from five moments into the game, like, oh, wow, Florida is coming here to play. Like, they look like the better team. I don't understand what happened either.
That's an indictment on LSU. Yeah, this is why Brian Kelly's answering these major questions today.
Felt like they quit after the Alabama loss. I felt like that.
And that was embarrassing, too.
Ended their season.
And losing to Bama on your home field doesn't help. And getting run on by Texas A&M and just being shown that you haven't fixed the defense. And USC beat you in the first game of the year. What happened to them? USC is a disaster. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do today. Want to hear from you on the Dallas Cowboys, basically their season, basically being over. Got a lot more college stuff for you as well. It's Maggie Perloff.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com.
Welcome back. Perloff just said something to me in the break before he walked out. We'll get back to your calls on college football in a second. You're thinking about Indiana this weekend, taking the Hoosiers over the Buckeyes. It's going to be a huge game.
What I said was, we need to jump on the Indiana bandwagon just in case, because they're an impossible team not to like, right? I mean, this coach, Cignetti, is amazing. Their quarterback is a great story. Like, everything about them is lovable. And by the way, are we sure? That's the real debate. Are we sure they're out of it if they lose this game?
No, I think they're in it even if they lose this game, because they were ranked so high.
So I don't even need them to win this game. And I do think it's an interesting game. Ohio State has played sort of up and down to their opponent.
That's true.
Do we have any idea how good Ohio State is?
So the spread on this game is 13.
13, okay.
It's growing. I believe we thought it opened maybe at 10.5.
I mean, Indiana looked, was their last game Michigan? They looked really bad in that game. I will give you that. But still, like, Indiana football, this is exciting stuff. It feels like a kind of like a Cinderella team that everyone can get behind.
Well, what makes you think we haven't been on the bandwagon this whole time?
Can we look at the show logs? How many times have we broken down the Indiana Hoosiers football team?
Well, we talk about it when the college football playoff rankings come out, but I think most of us feel like they shouldn't be as high as they are. And I think you're kind of leading the way on that one.
No. They don't bother me. It's Penn State. Why is Penn State so high?
Well, I mean, Indiana hasn't played anyone even close to the caliber that Penn State has. They will this week against Ohio State, but up until this point, they haven't played anybody. Just
Penn State hasn't played anybody. Undefeated. Like, what? I don't understand, like, Penn State as a loss.
No, I get it, but do you think Indiana's beating Ohio State?
No, I think it's, I mean, listen, I think they have a shot. But that being said, like, Penn State is not better than Alabama or Georgia. And anybody who would pick Penn State over Alabama or Georgia, I'd question your sanity. Like, what on earth do you see in Penn State and James Franklin that deserves to be, like, several spots higher than Georgia and Alabama?
Oh, I agree with you. But I also don't think that Indiana, and I all due respect to the undefeated record, I do not think Indiana is on the same level as Georgia or Alabama either, and it's ranked higher than both of those teams as well.
Yeah, I just think the one that stands out is Penn State, and then Notre Dame too. I don't know, like, what's Notre Dame done? Who have they beaten?
They beat Texas A&M.
I just generally think quality wins should mean more than losses, and quality losses, and I think the committee sees it the other way. They don't care at all about strength of schedule. At the end of the day, it will not be a factor in at all. Like, it'll mean 0%, and that means that nobody's going to schedule anybody. And we're going to have this September 23rd is always going to be a boring weekend of college football.
Let's go to the Big Easy, our friend Big Easy. Hey, Big.
Good morning, Maggie and Perloff. I just wanted to talk to you real quick about LSU.
Yeah, about Brian Kelly and whether or not he's on the hot seat after 3 straight losses.
Right. Well, he is definitely on the hot seat because I got friends that are in the program, and the AD is used to be Texas A&M's AD, and he's the one that gave that big contract to you boy. I forget his name.
Jimbo Scott Woodward is his name.
Yes, and he's learned from that, and he gave a nice contract to him, but nothing like that. And
I thought Kelly had a big long one.
It was 6 to 7 years, but it's not
curved to the left.
And the buyout after this year is not that bad. Remember,
how long is this?
No, Big Easy, hold on 1 second. Perloff's got me all off track. Manny just peeked his head out. Like, we're all children here. But the buyout, it's pretty significant. It's $67 million, and he would get 90% of that.
He signed a 10-year contract. He's under contract till 2031, Big Easy.
Yes, but that 67, they made a documentary about my team. Out of the hundreds of colleges, they can afford that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they could. If they wanted to, they could definitely afford the buyout.
Right.
But he didn't learn his lesson, SAD. He said, I think Brian Kelly was one of the longest, again, richest, most vibrant contracts of all time. Like, what are you talking about? Big Easy, I'm going to be asked, like, seriously.
Vibrant.
They're stuck with Brian Kelly because they made it a way too long a term contract.
It's still only 60-something million. That's not a
left.
Big deal.
I mean, they've already spent 3 years on this project.
Well, it's the same thing like with Jimbo, Big Easy. You're right. Jimbo Fisher, the buyout was over $70 million to get him out of there. And listen, they might say it's worth it. They got Mike Elko, and, you know, things are back on track.
Sort of.
Anyway, I'm enjoying the show. I love both of you, and I'll talk to you again another time.
Big Easy, keep calling us about this LSU stuff because we are fascinated. I am about what Brian Kelly's future is right now.
He's really good at recruiting high school guys, right? Like he's got top classes coming in. They are young, so we could at least make an argument. I don't know, like who are you going to with not Brian Kelly? You gonna bring Ed O back? That'd be fun.
But you're paying them through 2025.
If that's
maybe they'll
the case,
give you a discount.
Yeah, I mean, are you bringing Lincoln Riley gets fired at USC? You're bringing him to LSU? I'm not sure what exactly they do that's better than Brian Kelly. I'm not a huge fan of Brian Kelly. I don't like the way he treats his players. But that being said, he was 10-3 in the SEC last year. I think he's done a better job than some do because I don't expect that team. You have Georgia and Alabama in that conference. Like Brian Kelly should have known that when he left Notre Dame.
I think people at LSU would expect to make a 12-team college football playoff, even with Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't ranked in the top 12 coming into the year, so they should have known.
Randy is in Indiana, wants to talk about Indiana Hoosiers football. Hey, Randy.
How you doing? Good morning.
What's up?
Well, first of all, you need to get on the bandwagon because they are going to beat Ohio. They are going to beat Ohio State. Doug, I know you are on the basketball. I didn't know about Indiana football yet, but they're going to beat Ohio State this weekend.
What makes you so confident?
I mean, Ohio State, like you were saying earlier, what's Ohio State done? Who is Ohio State? They're not. I mean, they got a good receiver, maybe some good defensive guys, but they're not that good this year. And Indiana is going to show them that on Saturday.
Man, Randy, how excited are people in Indiana for this game?
It's ridiculous. I'm 45 years old. I've never been excited about Indiana football. I've been a fan my whole life, but it's just been torturous. So it's amazing. The state has really rallied behind him. They just signed him to 2032. Big money, life-changing. It's awesome. And Coach Cignetti is the real deal. And that's why NIL, transfer portal, you're saying it's a coach killer. Well, right here proves if you're doing the right thing, it is not. It is actually a saver.
You know, Randy, it's so funny because when I saw that Kurt Cignetti got the 8-year contract extension, or it was massive, right? But to be honest, I was a little surprised. And I think one of the reasons that Indiana, because I was surprised that he wouldn't have held out to try to get, you know, maybe one of these bigger, higher-paying jobs.
I was like, okay, you're not surprised from the Indiana angle.
No.
Surprised from the coach. Yeah, but don't a lot of coaches do this, sign a big deal and then leave in a year?
Well, he might do that. I don't know. But I also think that we're seeing this trend now. And Randy, thank you for the call and good luck to your Hoosiers. This was a guy who's like a more established kind of older dude, you know? How old is Kurt Cignetti? Isn't he in his 50s or 60s?
Established 50s. How? Like, what do you mean?
Like, he's older in his career. So, you know, maybe he wants to build something at Indiana and stay at Indiana. And it's possible maybe he does want to. He likes the lifestyle. Maybe he likes the family. Who knows what it is, right?
63 years old.
He's 63. Like, maybe you're kind of done ladder climbing. In a way, you're like, hey, I'm in a big conference. I've got a nice life. I'm putting together an all-time season. I'm a legend here now. And maybe I don't need to be constantly looking now for what's the better, bigger thing. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. By the way, I think he just summed up Ohio State. Like, they have a great wide receiver and some names on defense, and that's it. Like, what is it? I think that's one of the great, like, who is this Ohio State team? I don't think anyone trusts him. I mean, like, Right. Is there anything else to say about, like, is there a notable, they sometimes they can run, sometimes they're terrible running. They have superstars on defense who show up occasionally. They're a very odd team.
Yeah, they should be able to run the ball much better. They got two running backs who are going to the NFL.
Yeah, but when their offensive line got hurt, like, they became one of the least efficient running teams in the entire country. So, and now I think they figured out a way to get a new lineman in there. I heard somebody talk about that. So they've been incredibly disappointing, actually, and still only have one loss.
Well, they're lucky that Michigan's down. Andrew Bogusch is here with some headlines.
And these ones are sponsored by PXG Golf. Staying long and straight on the golf course is easier than ever with PXG clubs. Take your game to a whole new level and save $10 per club at pxg.com/football using code football.
Deeper.
This, the moaning behind that is what I don't remember.
I don't either, and it's me.
I actually think I have a long cut of that in here somewhere.
I would love to hear the long version of that.
Are you sure?
Yes. I do need the context of where all of that comes from. While we wait, here's a play on the short list of those perfectly summing up the Cowboys' season.
Drops back. Hit from behind. Ball jarred free. But then it was picked up, and then it was knocked free again by Petrie. And then picked up on the play by Barnett, who went from the 20 to the 10 to the 5. Houston has scored on a fumble recovery touchdown by Derek Barnett.
Kevin Harlan, Ina Westwood 1, Cooper Rush playing for the injured Dak Prescott was strip sacked. Dallas O-lineman Tyler Guyton came to the rescue recovering the fumble, but tried to run instead of just falling down. So Jalen Petrie stripped him and Barnett scored on the 28-yard scamper. This all happening early fourth quarter when the Cowboys were still within reach of the Texans. Houston head coach DeMeco Ryans says the sequence changed the game.
It flipped the momentum. It got everybody juiced up on the sideline. It was just a huge play. Him get the strip sack and for Petrie to come up and force the ball out, like, when something we talk about and we harp on is attacking the football, and we talked about this week, not just attacking it, going to score.
Joe Mixon's third rushing score of the night followed and capped the 34-10 victory. Dallas 3-7 overall, 0-5 at home, and the first team ever to trail by 20-plus points in six straight home games. The Texans, meanwhile, improved to 7-4. They maintain a two-game lead, plus a season sweep on the Colts atop the AFC South. Manny, back to you.
You've never been deeper. That's what I got for you.
Doesn't clear it up.
No, it doesn't.
Never, Maggie. Been deeper.
I don't know what we were talking about.
Feels edited. it says there's AI involved here.
Hey, if there's any doubts about it, ask Peter Bellotti.
Oh, that's a Bellotti cut?
I mean, it's been here for quite some time.
You've never been deeper.
What could that have been from?
I don't know. It had to be the bet.
Deeper.
I'm thinking the chili bet.
Oh, yes.
I think Bogus is doing play by play.
Pearl off and eating chili with no hands.
And you reacting to
me
the gross.
Me reacting to how gross it looked and you doing the play by play. There we go.
Oh, yeah, he has spaghetti. He has found the pasta.
That was the first week we were doing mornings.
We are a morning show. We might want to take the edited version out of our rotation. People are in their cars with kids. People, please.
Okay.
I'm blushing here.
You want to go back to your Brian Kelly comments?
Oh, come on, Bogus. Would you grow up? You're going to hark on this for the next 3.5 months.
Probably.
I mean, you
were upset again
when you said somebody almost got their eye poked out and Maggie started giggling like a school kid. You're like, what is going on here? You're being worse.
Wait, hold on, though. We should remember back to when Perloff did eat the Skyline chili, because that really was one of the top moments of our show in the history of the show.
A big, sure. Long one. Curved to the left.
That's from 5 minutes ago. That's not one of the great moments of this show all time. It literally just happened.
That's edited, right, Perloff?
That's edited. I was factually correct, at least. Curved to the left. Big Easy called in and said Brian Kelly's on a short term deal. It was one of the longest deals, and it still sounds odd.
Yeah, but no one's ever called a buyout girthy before.
Long one. It is what it is. It is what it is. I don't think that's a word, by the way.
Oh, it's a word.
I don't think so.
Mr. Oxford English Dictionary over here. Oh, man. What were you saying?
I don't remember.
Deeper.
Not that. Oh, the Knicks. They handled the Wizards last night, 134-106. But, my friends, is this empire about to crumble before it actually rules the basketball world? The NBA's been looking at the timing of the Knicks promoting Rick Brunson to lead assistant over the summer because that promotion coincided with Jalen Brunson taking less than market value to re-sign with the Knicks. Was there some kind of side deal? The holier-than-thou Knickerbockers issuing a statement last night to call this speculation offensive and harassment.
This crap is crap.
It's a witch hunt.
A little doubt protests too much. And we've been doing this in basketball going back to AAU and high school, haven't we? If you don't hire somebody's family member, are you even trying?
This is the original NIL.
What are we doing here? Jalen Brunson passed up like $100 million. He can't make it up in a Rick Brunson assistant coach contract. What are we talking about?
It's not about dollars for dollars. It's about giving his dad a better job.
Wait, the real impropriety came when they hired Rick Brunson just right before they signed Jalen to the regular contract.
Right, they already investigated that. So what are we doing? NBA? Adam Silver?
Adam Silver ain't got nothing else to do, man.
No, I think it's a straight-up hire, just like Bronny was a straight-up draft pick by the Lakers.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, sometimes you just look at the resume and you're like, we got to hire this guy.
Blind
just like
resume.
When I remember LaSalle University of Philadelphia College hired Joe Bryant right when Kobe Bryant was getting recruited. It was weird.
That's so funny.
Yeah. As you said, that's happened every single recruit ever. Their dad gets hired.
Oh, my gosh. When I was covering high school sports when I was first starting out in this business, the amount of guys I would see, both football and basketball, all of a sudden it's like, wow, they got hired at Kentucky? It's like, yep.
I love when it doesn't work. Those few times where it doesn't work, that's happened a bunch, where they hire a uncle or dad and the guy's kid still goes somewhere else.
Or the AAU coach.
That happens
a lot,
too.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
How about when the Cavs hired Byron Scott to coach LeBron James and he left? And Byron Scott was left with the worst team in the league right before Miami.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's like, LeBron loves Byron Scott. Let's bring that guy in here.
Wait, can we go back to LaSalle thinking that Kobe was going to play college at all, but for them particularly?
Nice try, Explorers.
No, I mean, LaSalle, the three finalists were Duke, North Carolina, and LaSalle, I think.
Charlotte Hornets it is.
Joe Bryant went to LaSalle.
He literally resigned like the day Kobe got drafted.
Did he really?
I'm looking at his resume, yeah.
Resigned, you can't take that money.
Resigned in May of 1996. Kobe was drafted that June.
I think LaSalle had to take their shot, though.
When was he hired? In March of
93. So Kobe's a high schooler, dominating probably. And they're like, ooh, Joe Bryant, come on down.
Joe Bryant, great LaSalle explorer himself.
Yeah. Tim Legler, sure. Right?
Remember Lionel Simmons? I think all-time leading NCAA scorer was out of LaSalle. And Michael Brooks.
And
this is a Philadelphia school. I can tell you way too much about this.
My brother went there.
Your brother went to LaSalle?
Yes.
Manny, what's the name of their gym?
LaSalle Gym?
Nope.
Drexel Gym?
Do they have a gym?
They have a gym, and in fact, it's named just got renovated.
Tom Gola?
Yeah.
Yep, Tom Gola Arena.
But they haven't always had an on-campus gym. Like, I think they use a palestra for a while. Anyway.
Manny, by the way, I'm seeing John Glazer Arena now, just recently renamed.
Because it's new. It's all renovated.
Manny, you said Minute Maid Park got a new name?
Yeah, Minute Maid Park got a new name. It's no longer the Juice Box in Houston. It's Daikin Park or something like that. Something along those lines. It'll take over on January 1st, 2025. Minute Maid Park, no more.
Oh, man. So what? Do you have an idea what that company is?
I think it's some kind of... It's electronics?
It's like heating and air conditioning, like an HVAC company.
HVAC company, yes.
The big freezer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, I never know what the company, like Qualcomm, I still don't know what they do.
No clue.
I think the comm is for communications.
Communications?
I still don't know what SAP is.
SAP software, because I had a friend who worked there. But wait, when you say communications, what do they actually do?
Phone and internet, Qualcomm, I think.
Oh, I think I do.
Phone and internet? Like you buy your phone from them?
I think it's like Sprint Field. I think Qualcomm is a communications company.
Hmm. Like, I think our phone lines, in theory, could be Qualcomm.
Yeah, maybe like business communications?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Got your answer.
I guess so.
Now, what does Barclays do? I have no clue.
But like, I could go to T-Mobile and buy a phone. I can't go to Qualcomm and buy a phone, so it's just business?
I think Barclays is finance.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
That I know. They're famous British, right?
I think so.
This is what you're here for, man, and you should know all this.
We're all wrong.
No, it's just the names.
Computer background. Like, I thought it was like a computer network thing, like Cisco.
We're not all wrong. You were the one that answered. Qualcomm is what?
Qualcomm is a creates semiconductors, software, and services related to wireless technology. It owns patents critical to 5G, 4G, and other whatever those are, networks.
That's not so far off.
Yeah. Well, semiconductors threw me off, and that was the first word I saw.
Right. No, yeah, I'm taking that back. We were right.
Yeah, no, we were.
You said they're like Sprint.
You did not say that. I was like, you said that.
Is Sprint even a company still?
Listen, you had zero knowledge.
No,
we were seven tenths of the way there.
I knew they were.
You're like, what's a Qualcomm?
Whatever. At least I didn't pretend to know. Like you,
I knew.
I thought it was some of that stuff that pretended to cure COVID. What was it? Quinine? Quaaline?
Oh, God.
So, one of those things?
Hydrochloroquine? Yeah, some one of those things.
I just
hydroxychloroquine, something like that?
I assume that's what it was. 855-212-4227. Okay, we still have a lot to do, including a side hustle for one of our favorite coaches.
Curve to the left.
Daily. Do you believe that?
Dion.
You believe that?
Deion Sanders, Colorado Buffaloes. 3:30 kickoff time for them this week, I saw, for Colorado. Not bad.
This is really the big test, right? Like, I feel like, knock on wood, if they get by this game.
They're at Kansas.
Yeah, if they get by this game, then they're smooth sailing to the conference title game.
So they are a 3-point favorite on the road against Kansas. So it's going to be a tight one. But coaching football, apparently not the only thing that Deion Sanders is doing these days. Deion Sanders also has a brand new talk show. It's called I Got Time Today.
Here's how Deion Sanders locks in for his new talk show, We Got Time Today.
All right, baby, this is your moment. You remember the blood, sweat, and the tears. The early morning workouts and the late night preparation.
Is he going to do a pep talk every week?
All the dreams. Times we came up short, it all prepared you for this. It's on.
No. Okay. So, first episode's coming out this month. It will feature 21-hour episodes each Tuesday, and they come out weekly, and it's going to be on Tubi, which I can no longer hear without the Cat Williams voice from
Netflix
me.
Or Tubi.
Shannon Sharp interview.
I'm sorry, can you clear it up?
Yeah.
21-hour episodes or 21-hour episodes on Tuesday? Are we going to get 21 hours of Deion in a row?
Yeah, it's a binge. 21-hour episodes.
So he's competing. It's going to be guest-driven, I assume, right?
Yeah, so it's also with, is it Rossi Diaz? Roxy Diaz. She's an award-winning media personality. And they
are a PR person?
I'm reading the press release. And yeah. When did they do this?
Well, I was about to say, is he competing with Shador for guests? Because Shador has a high-end podcast where he's getting these big-name guests.
At Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah. That's just the tip of the iceberg. He gets really famous people on that podcast. So where are they fitting in game planning?
Your Zlatan and shove it, Manny.
No, I like Zlatan. I'm a huge Zlatan fan. You can't get any bigger than me. But Shador is, what's his called? Two legends talking? So this is crazy. What, does Shiloh have a show?
They all have shows.
When are they actually practicing football games?
Shiloh's show should be called Unnecessary Roughness.
There's nothing but the show. There's no real life. It's just all the show. The cameras never stop rolling. Meanwhile, all right, so they've got, they're going to laugh, debate, inspire, and most importantly, talk life.
Love it, most importantly. By the way, you bring up a good point. Everyone's mad at the Lakers for drafting Bronny. Whoever drafts Shador is clearly drafting Shiloh, too. That is 100% part of the package. We all know that. Is there any doubt about that, Maggie?
No, this is a Sylvester Stallone, Frank Stallone situation. He's got to come.
They should just give the opponent 30 yards for personal foul penalties just before the game starts.
I don't think
personal fouls.
It's like a debit card and just like keep taking.
Yeah, here's 30 yards, start the game. All right, let's play.
I don't think NFL coaches hate the way Shiloh plays. He's an old school headhunter.
Roger Goodell will hate him.
Yeah, that's true. But the coach will be like, ooh, like the cut of that guy's jib.
All right, there you go. Deion coaching and a talk show. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez, Alex in the back. Nice job today to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, the Weedos, the coffee drinkers, callers. You guys are on point. See you tomorrow.
A big, long one.